Da Bears.
Okay, ready. 3, 2, 1.
Do it again.
3, 2, 1.
What is up? The boys are back. Episode 44 of the Bare Minimum Podcast. Join with the bestest friends in the whole world, plus a couple more. Producer Jake is here.
Howdy.
Dollar Dale's here.
Hey, everybody.
Sammy Stats is here.
What's going on, everyone?
Intern Jose is here.
How's it going, everybody?
Oh, welcome on back, Jose.
Welcome, welcome.
Okay, and I don't care anymore. Yeah. Guys, guess who's fucking back?
The champ.
It's the return of cameraman.
Let's
Sean.
Go, buddy.
There we go.
Welcome back, Sean.
Sean, come
Sean,
over.
Sean, Sean, do you have anything to share with
us? I just waved to Sean to come over. I'm like, damn, he didn't. I'm like, damn.
The blind cameraman, but a cameraman nonetheless.
Sean, where the hell you been?
Oh, you know, I've been busy working with some projects with some people. People you'd know, projects you know. I can't really talk about it. It's all very hush-hush.
Sean, how do I get a FedEx hat?
Buy stock in FedEx.
You don't, man.
Do you work for FedEx?
Shh. And the government.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
The Federal Express. So, cameraman Sean's back, guys.
Hey.
Again, episode 44 of the Bare Minimum Podcast. Today is Wednesday.
It's the Rizzo episode, right?
August 18th. Oh, it is the Rizzo episode.
Riz.
Wow. I couldn't think of that number 44. I came up with Nick Kwiatkowski.
I did too, actually.
So, I mean.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, today's Wednesday, August 18th. Boys. How the hell are we doing? It's been a while.
I'm flying high.
Yeah?
The White Sox, baby.
Got White Sox chubby?
Tell us more.
We'll get into it.
Okay. Yeah, that's been a couple crazy games there. I'm excited to get into that with you. I bet emotions have run high.
Very high. I've been peaking.
Do you want to leave it at that?
we got sports minutes coming up.
Okay, that's weird.
So, guys, today is a special episode, right? Today we got intern Jose and also resident fantasy football expert.
Expert.
Into the mic, Jose. So we're going to talk a little fantasy football, get everybody ready for their drafts. Preseason week 2, preseason week 3, always around a good time to draft. You guys have any more drafts coming up? Or I know we just had the one in the beer league, which... I am
the one that matters.
Stoked about.
I have a work league, and then you never know what's going to pop up.
Yeah. Last minute invites.
Yeah. Got a spot to fill.
Yeah.
Who knows?
You want to do a 4-man bare min league?
Okay.
No benches.
Campbell.
Sean's in.
Sean's in.
Sean's in 5.
Big numbers.
Omar's
guy.
Obviously in.
40-man roster.
No benches.
Yeah, guys. We'll also today, we'll talk. We got Omar's corner. We got UFC coming up this weekend. Big Usman fight this weekend. So we'll get into that with Omar. Let him handle his thing. Boys, I'm so stoked to be back. A bunch of champions at this table.
A whole lot of champions.
Shit ton of champions
you.
Over here, man.
We missed you last time, man.
Sammy Stats, how's your leaky ceiling?
Not leaking. Right now.
Sick.
That's great.
Sick.
The water was calling from inside the house. It was not rain, because I know it was raining a lot that day. The call came from inside the house, but I think we got it taken care of.
There you go.
And we fix shit.
Plumber Timmy?
No.
Thank God.
I love Plumber Tim, but nope.
He doesn't listen. That guy tried to fight me.
It was one time, dude.
I can't believe it's middle of August already. Like... I cannot believe that we're at this point. Summer's winding down. Everybody's posting their cheer-ins and their back-to-school photos. It's
everyone's got their board with their first
personal
day
information.
Drove past our local high school, the alma mater.
In Sam fashion,
on the way here.
If you remember.
Drove past it on Randall on the way here, and there's just 400 kids in football pads out there, and I'm just like...
Yeah.
Football's back.
Football's back, baby. Just good for the soul.
It's so good.
Boys of fall.
Hell yeah.
Guys, let's get into it, right? So let's get into some sports minutes. We'll go around.
It's going to be a long one.
Yeah, we'll go around the city of Chicago. We'll touch base with a couple of our favorite Chicago sports teams. We'll hear from Omar in a little bit, too. Producer Jake, what's going on with the Blackhawks?
The Blackhawks have signed Jack Johnson, journeyman, 1,000-game player.
Banana pancakes.
D-man.
Surfer.
What, really?
The guy who plays
Jake
guitar
Johnson
is like semi-pro surfer.
Yeah, that's how you know a hot, like, the guy you signed isn't that great is when you Google him that he's not the first or the second most famous person with that name.
And so. He's a pro athlete. So that's good.
That's about it. That's all the Blackhawks.
Okay, cool.
News.
That's a wrap on the Blackhawks.
It's all good news.
Okay.
Yeah,
as
honestly,
long as it doesn't involve Patrick Kane.
No news is good news. We've said it forever. No news is good news. Guys, getting into the Chicago Bulls, some news is bad news, right? Mm. Today we got news, today, Wednesday, August 18th, that Goran Dragic hurt his knee in Slovenia. It doesn't appear to be a super serious injury, but you never know with those injuries. And when you're counting on depth, can't have that happen.
Especially when Lonzo's knee is apparently just not good.
I'm getting tired of our point guards also having knee injuries as well, too. It's a long-standing tradition with the Bulls, and it's time it's over.
I'm just looking at, you know, Dragic is only 6'3", so it's not like he's got, like, a seven-footer's knee. It's a smaller knee to heal. I think it's doable.
Derek was smaller and got a half a knee left.
Yeah, that's actually a great point.
Yeah, I'm speaking of point guards and I think the future of our team, guys, have you seen those pictures of Io?
No.
I was like working out, like his body just, he doesn't look as much like a child. He still has a child face, but like, dude, he's jacked. Like, you might rely on Io for a bunch of time this year.
Oh, you're going to.
Well, that's the thing with like basketball players too, is obviously they're professional athletes. Like, they develop faster than most, but they're still growing. Like, how old is Io?
23.
I mean,
not even, no, he can't be that old. He's in his teens, or he, like 20.
He's probably 20, 21. If we're guessing, we don't know for sure.
He's a 2 or 3 year player at Illinois. If you count his red shirt, I think.
22. He's 22.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was close.
You're still growing.
Wait, I mean, it's crazy.
Grew till last year, bro.
Excited for the youth on this team. Did you guys see that the NBA schedule was released today?
Yep.
Have you seen this? Have you heard this?
Have you seen this? Heard about this?
Bulls get some love.
Dude, I'm excited for this season. Like, I'm excited for a couple primetime games. You're excited for just, like, I love Bulls basketball. They gave us a reason to get excited and go back and kind of miss it.
I'm excited for that January, February time frame when that mentality completely flips.
The dog days.
I'm making the conscious decision of, we do have 3 past All-Stars on this team. If they're all All-Stars this year, we ride this bitch. Let's go.
I'm down for it.
Ooh, ride the wave.
Oh, yeah, ride the wave. I mean,
they just need to be healthy All-Stars.
Wow.
Big fuck you to Giannis. Big fuck you to
Giannis.
Hey,
maybe Chicago. Maybe. I don't know. Except, you know, but I'm staying in Milwaukee.
Dude.
Such a tease.
Don't give me hope.
Did
with
you get
cocky? Yeah, oh, totally. With that being said.
Drug, man.
I mean, Giannis.
That is the first thought I had when I watched the press conference after the fact and saw what he said. I was just like, don't. Man, come on. Like, just don't say those things unless you really mean it.
If we can't even get Anthony Davis to come home, like, don't expect Giannis to pick up and move 2 hours south.
I mean, I'm just tired of being used like that.
I mean, what's another, 100 miles?
Yeah, something like
that. After he came from overseas? Like, I don't know how far away Greece is, but.
Well, no, I mean, once you've done the Midwestern winters thing, you're usually pretty fucking over
guys, if Dwayne Wade and Jabari Parker can come home, anybody can come home.
Cue up Eminem population. I'm coming home soundtrack.
Giannis is from Greece.
Come home, Giannis.
So just something to look forward to. Look through that schedule. I'm sure we'll talk more and more down the road about it. Dale, get us into the Chicago Cubs.
All right, the only thing that's really worth talking about is the whole Jason Hayward situation, which has developed since last we spoke. So the team, while Jason Hayward is currently on the injured list, the team has come out and said he will not be playing for the Cubs again. If he were to come back this year healthy, which he won't be, he's not suiting up, and he won't be with the team next year. Now, that's good for the Cubs. It opens up the roster spot, obviously. He's been playing horrible baseball, batting like 200 when he was still in the game. And he is still owed like $22, $23 million. So they're going to have to eat that for another year, obviously. But finally out from under that weight, what you can do with $20 million in this game is very important to a team with almost no starting pitching or really fundamental players. So it's something that we all were waiting for, and that time's finally coming. Otherwise, the Cubs are exactly what we think they are right now. They're going to be a 100-plus loss team. They're 5-2 the last seven games. Ride the good waves, because there's going to be a bunch of fucking bad ones. It's good.
If they had pitching, this would be a better team. Like you've said since the beginning of the season, they can score runs. Even if you had like adequate pitching, like they just have 2A and AAA starters. They have guys that should be out of the league in their rotation.
The only thing that I disagree with you on is that they are still doing things like the Frank Schwindel experiment, which...
Iowa right now.
Guys, exactly. Like the fact that we're still doing that whole thing at first base, we don't have those consistent players at key positions. Even if we had the pitching, we wouldn't be competitive right now. But they still find ways to score a bunch of runs. So some of those games are really fun. Don't support them financially.
Yeah, and there's a lot of bright spots too, I guess. When you look at Nico Horner, who is just batting incredibly well, especially in August. I think it was like batting 370, 380. So
he's 300 on the season. Yeah. So it's like,
so we have some decent players, but you're right. It's really nice to finally get out of that Jason Hayward contract, knowing that it's kind of an end to an era, really. So hopefully
put a statue out front of a ground out to second base, bro.
Just a little plaque right here. Jason Hayward lived here.
It was the game of, is Jason Hayward going to ground out to first or second base? Put your money down, because one of those two things is going to happen. And you're absolutely right. Nico's playing really well. He's an interesting breed where he's an absolute glove at shortstop, a premium position, but he does not have pop. Mm-mm. He hits singles, and he legs out doubles.
Yeah,
and that's tough in today's MLB, but there is no shortage of teams that need that, and he's definitely someone that I think they could look to re-sign, because he probably won't command as much money at that time. I like him a ton. He's a great player. Great glove.
Completely. Dude's sick.
Also, just wanted to bring up Fuck Marquee. Joe Girardi is back to broadcasting, and now he is one of the analysts on, and he's doing a couple games, I believe, for the Cubs on Marquee Network.
It's an absolute train wreck. It's an absolute train wreck.
Like, Tom Ricketts is like 20 years behind.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to bring in Joe Girardi, and we're going to put him on TV.
The fans are going to love it. That's how you appeal to the young.
We didn't like him enough to let him coach our team when it was available and he was available. But he can call our games on the TV.
So chances then he's your next coach.
Well, I was going to say.
He's chances there. That Hawk is coming to replace.
Hawk's not on the broadcast.
Like, I'll paint you a situation.
So he's there. So Joe, who's your coach right now? Not Joe, man.
David Ross.
David Ross. Like,
I hope he survives this rebuild.
He's not going to.
Oh,
he's
David Ross. David, I've said it before. He is a sacrificial lamb.
And then you bring
in
the
Joe Girardi. Good guy they bring in to lose 100 games for 3 years.
But I think he's good at his job, which is the bad part. Or can continue to get even better. You know what I'm saying? So, like, David Ross gets to Wrigley and he goes to park in the, you know, manager spot or whatever.
No.
And Joe Girardi's parked there. He's
like at an angle with, like, a
he's
some
like a
sick car.
Drop top Mustang.
Yeah.
This is like the opposite of Matt Nagy walking into the Chiefs facility and just, like, picking up a key card and being like, yeah, so what are we doing today? You know, it's the exact opposite.
Quit and just come back the next day. It's that Larry David bit.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's someone that, like, Matt Nagy leaves a room and someone just looks at everyone and goes, we're just going to pretend like nothing happened. So, okay, we're just like, he's gone. That's fine. Nothing happened.
You weren't
right?
going to say anything,
you guys
Dave?
Are fucking assholes.
Yeah, if you're David Ross, you're like, the fuck?
Exactly. Imagine you're the guy who got fired for him to come back. I'd burn the building down.
Dale's fame.
God damn.
Exactly. Dale's fame.
And then we'll talk about Southside. Producer Jake.
Sup?
Cool off. You pat yourself down. You need a minute?
The boys
are
back. The White Sox are back. They've gone 5 in a row. They swept Detroit. They've gotten 2 off the Astros so far. Cascade is my new god. He's totally flipped this season on its head. 5-0 in the Cascade era. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
The DJ, he did a set after one of the games. I heard it was crazy. Did you see it?
Yeah, so he did a 90-minute set after the game.
For the boys?
Who is this person?
You don't know about 9-time Grammy nominated DJ?
Because every time he touches, I get this feeling.
I thought that was Cascada.
That was Cascade.
No, wait. Did we just do this?
Yes, it's Cascada.
Oh, no. Tale of Two Cities.
That's a great song. I just had a flashback to 2007, and
that's
it was
a chick.
Great. Okay, but the set was fire.
So who's DJ Cascade?
No, it's Cascada.
Oh, it was Cascada 5-0 the whole time.
In the Cascada era.
Oh, it's Cascade. It's Cascade, I swear, it's Cascade.
Cascade is a shitty ski mountain in, oh, sorry, hill in
Wisconsin.
This is Wisconsin.
Cascade with a K.
Mm. Oh, we're back, okay.
Oh, Cascade.
Oh, this is different.
Okay.
Yes.
So what are you happy about again?
5-0.
Okay.
Oh, that's
my new god. Totally turned this team around on his own. We're back.
All right.
Dylan Cease's record setting pace unfortunately abrupted by having first baseman in the outfield.
Happens to the best of us.
Hey, one of those first basemen in the outfield saved him from getting a loss.
We are one game out of first place.
Exactly.
Don't talk
five
until
games over 500.
Your manager puts a pitcher in left field.
Did that happen?
Oh, yeah.
Alex Wood.
He actually caught one on the track. The
a fan is basically coaching the team now.
Let's
walk us through that.
Yoan Moncada. Hold on.
I haven't watched.
Yoan Moncada is back.
Only when there's
clutch
men on base.
Only when there's men on base.
Someone has to do it.
Abreu in August is back. Eloy has been hitting the ball fantastically.
So Johnny Cueto's not
Johnny
your god.
Johnny Cueto is God 1A.
He led the team meeting.
Yes.
The player meeting.
Honestly, Johnny Cueto is probably starting the second game if we make the playoffs.
I love
it. Is Lance Lynn dead?
Lance Lynn had one good game since he came back, which was his last game against the Tigers.
Almost traded Ryan for him. Moving on.
Where do we want to start?
Let's start at the bottom, work your way up so that you're on a high for the rest of the show.
What's the bottom?
I'm curious about the video. I haven't watched
Tony
the video.
So let's talk
the video of the fan.
Of the fan?
Yeah.
Let's talk fan first. So
walk me through it.
It was eighth inning, I believe.
Eloy was on second.
Eloy was on second. And
not a fast guy.
And a fan is screaming, Tony, Tony, put angle in.
Run angle.
And Tony kind of like stumbles out there. Because every time Tony walks out onto the field to challenge a call to do anything, he looks like
Waddles.
He's lost. Like
he looks more ridiculous in a live setting than he does in like. On TV, there's just camera shots of him where it's just his, like, you know, upper body and everything. When he waddles out there, he just looks more ridiculous. He looks – I don't even know how to describe it. He just looks more ridiculous than he you perceive him to be.
He's working on a time delay, too.
It's crazy.
When anyone asks him a question or when he goes to think about anything, he's working on a 7-second delay. Broadcast loves him.
That man is perpetually concussed.
Yeah. That's what it looks like. That's really what it looks like.
Huh?
So the fan interaction, then like the guy's yelling and Tony goes out, makes a switch, angle runs, and everybody's going crazy.
Everybody's like high-fiving the dude. Like, he called it. He made the call.
He was on the
perfect
radio.
Situation, yeah. Right? And did Angle end up scoring?
He did, but it was like speed wasn't a factor in the play.
But it was still the right move to make at the time in the game.
It was more so the fact that, like, here's another Tony La Russa incident. Like, it's just there's a list of them where now Tony's taking advice from optics.
So, be nice to Tony.
So Tony, buy Bed Bath and Beyond.
For those that watch the video, do you believe Tony actually heard the guy?
Oh, Tony turns and looks at the man.
No, he doesn't.
Mm-mm.
Oh, it sure looks like it.
The timing could be great.
No, he just walks out. No,
it could just be great timing, but it also he could have like turned to one of his bench coaches and been like, that's the play here, right?
So
and
that's
done it.
That's actually what Tony was then asked about it, which I have a little beef. Not a minute to beef, just a little beef.
Okay, mini beef.
It's the fucking manager talk. Like, so they bring it up to Tony the next day when he's available before the game, and he says, I don't know what video you're talking about. And so like somebody had to like then explain it to him. And then it's like,
yeah, but there's also been moments in this season where something egregious has happened, and he's like, what are you talking about? And then they have to explain it to him. It's like, dude, we know you know, yeah, like, what we're talking about.
Stop the bit.
Does he really not know, or is it, it's just
all
like,
right, put it to a vote.
No, this is like Bill Belichick's snap face, like, when he's like, oh, what's that, that my face or whatever?
Yeah,
like,
I,
you know.
I don't believe that it was, it actually happened.
I agree. Like, I don't believe it happened.
I think it's just super unfortunate timing, like, through it all.
But, and that someone was recording.
I think he did it because someone reminded him that he had a base runner available.
Completely agreed.
Someone had to remind him of
the
rules.
The other reason I don't
like
believe it, because
that
like he
true.
Walks out there yelling time, the umpire doesn't hear him. Like, the stadium was loud at the moment. I don't actually believe he could hear him.
I'm going there? Back to watch it, but I think that he was influenced by a fan.
Well, you're a hater, so.
The man fell asleep.
And you're TLR's biggest fan, right?
We're on a 5-game win streak, okay?
Good answer.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it or whatever they say.
Hey, intern Jose.
Yes, what's up?
May I have one of those
absolutely
crispy boys right there? Thank
ooh,
you.
Wet throat. A little wet the whistle.
So are you thanking your lucky stars for Johnny Cueto because he was on a couch a couple months ago?
I love this move from day one. I remember talking about it on here. I love Johnny Cueto, and I love him for everything he's doing for this club right now. He's leading the team in games with over 6 innings pitched.
Quality starts.
Which he has only been on the team for, what, a third, a half of the games, and he's already leading the team in 6-inning starts?
How is that possible with Cease's run?
Cease...
He gets pulled in the fifth a lot.
He usually gets pulled... So
or after
him
five.
And Kopech get pulled after, like, five. If they're in the 80 pitch mark, yep, it's like, you're out.
Protecting those arms.
Basically.
Smart.
Meanwhile,
Johnny Cueto, as many as you want.
LaRusso is like, I'm going to run you till your arm falls off.
He's like, I'm on my last leg anyway, so we're going to empty the clip.
Was the
got shell shocked.
Was the Justin Verlander Dylan Cease matchup everything you wanted it to be?
It wasn't. I wanted like 8 innings of just shutout ball and just the pitchers dealing. The umpire threw a very tight strike zone, which you got two Cy Young winners, and it's like, come on, man, just start calling people out. Like,
yeah.
Let these boys deal. And then
comes the ump show.
Yeah. Verlander threw very well through like 7, I think. Dylan went 5.
Yeah, 7.1.
Neither one threw the strikeouts, really. Cease didn't have the command that he normally does. So it wasn't what you really wanted in a number one, number two Cy Young battle, but it is what it is. Sox won, so that's all I care about.
W.
Can I just bring up one thing, though, Producer Jake?
Okay.
What's that?
And I hate to be that guy.
Oh.
But I relish in the opportunity to be that guy in this situation. What's up with your 17,000-18,000 attendance? Why is attendance so low in these games? I think last night was pretty high.
This is very easy for me. So, yeah, last night was a high note, but everybody knows that White Sox followers and fans are true blue-collar people and are the working man. So, you know, Monday through Friday games, they're tough to make it to for these people that are, you know, trying to provide for their families. And so for you to even bring that up, at, you know, on this team is really disrespectful.
That's really
to
disrespectful,
the
dude.
American working person.
1 p.m. on a Wednesday? I mean, that Dave is down at the mill putting bread on his family's table.
So, yeah.
Our ballpark sells 32,000.
Well, because your ballpark is full of a bunch of degenerates who, you know, just blow off work all the time, get drunk on a weekday. It's really... building cup snakes in the outfield. It's
we're really all kind of looking at each other like, have we called off work and gone to drink at Cubs game?
He was just describing me.
It's an intervention.
I don't even feel attacked,
Dale,
to be honest,
sitting with us.
I have not given them my money. I can confidently say that. But
it's kind of a bad excuse, though, because I don't think the South Side is really known for like a notoriously high employment rate either. So.
Oh, my God.
So I feel like there's plenty of people that are going to go ahead and attend that game.
Intern.
That was intern. Intern Jose.
Now we're getting political. I mean, an unemployment rate's at an all-time low. So, again, for you to say that,
it's
just
not. It is low though,
something
right now.
Else.
You, boy, you are something else.
You, I am something else.
I'm gonna get Steve.
Okay. As of this morning, Pecota, you know where you get the future rankings and stuff, and like projected, the ALC Central is projected the Cleveland Guardians to finish at 84-78, the Minnesota Twins to finish second at 84-78, and the Chicago White Sox third to finish 84-78.
Can't wait.
I can't wait.
Race to the playoff
this,
with 84 wins.
This, Dale.
Who is your starting rotation?
For the if we make the playoffs?
I mean right now.
It's Dylan Cease, Michael Kopech, Lance Lynn, Lucas Giolito, and Cueto.
It's not.
Please continue.
Okay. I don't know where I was going. The last 12 games of the season
to the moon
is 3 games against the Guardians, 9 games against the Twins.
I feel like you're
three games against the Guardians, 6 games against the Twins, and then 3
Kansas
games.
City has to be thrown in there somewhere.
I mean, they're in the last month for sure, okay, along with the Tigers and everything.
Which you want those.
But, so the last 9 games, 6 of them are against the Twins. You go 3 against the Twins, 3 against someone else, and then 3 against the Twins to finish it off. That is going to be the difference maker.
I can't wait for your updates.
Jake, are you worried that they are just propping you up for a just meteoric fall back to reality?
So, no.
Okay, respect.
Normally with the White Sox, we start off the season like super hot.
Oh, yeah. You're like wildfire. You burn out quick.
Oh, yeah. And then crash and burn. I'm totally okay with this 180 where we start off mediocrity and then accelerate to the moon.
You'd rather fly in than limp in. So that kind of makes sense.
I'm just thinking about things that hurt you in the end. You know, riptides. The ocean's a shit ton of fun.
And moving on to...
What's wrong with you?
I don't know, man. I've been hurt.
Moving on to the beloved, guys.
Oh, the beloved.
What's up?
So the Chicago Bears played their first preseason game, 19 to, what was it, 14 or
14,
something like that?
14, I believe.
Preseason.
Very cool. Bears. 1-0, baby.
Sammy Stats was there.
I was there, yeah.
How was your Bears experience and possibly one of the last few times you'll ever be at Soldier Field?
No comment on that. But I will say that the best part about it overall was the vibe. Everyone was happy. Everybody was happy because it's like, we're like, this isn't the regular season. We can't be hurt today. And everybody's just like, football's back.
We're bulletproof, baby.
It was like 75, slightly overcast, no wind. It was beautiful. Even when it pissed rain for 30 seconds. The vibes are immaculate, man. Cracking beers. Fuck.
Was the field as bad in person as it looked
on TV?
That's
what I was about to ask.
Okay, so... from where I was sitting and not intoxicated, I thought it looked fine from the corner. But, like, if I had been over on the side, I saw the side views. Apparently, it was real bad around the middle. I couldn't really see the divots from where I was sitting. So, I was just like...
yeah, but we've been a fan of this team our entire lives. It's like...
I already know the turf
shit.
We
have Stockholm Syndrome. It's like...
Oh, that's true.
It doesn't look that bad.
I'm seeing it through a
filter. But you don't know what real...
Oh, yeah. And we're so well aware of this issue that it's like, oh, yeah, that's... yeah.
That's oh, yeah, thing. That's just our grass.
It's
our
like,
grass.
Yeah, Debo beats the shit out of people sometimes. Like, yeah.
It's his thing.
Yeah,
yeah, just, exactly. It's all good.
Oh, yeah, like, we're...
What necklace?
Exactly. Man, my phone gives me...
God damn.
And meanwhile, we're like, yeah, our field, it's actually owned by the park district. It's funny.
Now that I think about it, like, I sat down and I'm like introducing myself to the people around us, like, because I'm in someone else's seat.
Sammy Stats.
So it's just like saying hi to people who normally sit there, and they're like, I'm like, wow, guys, like, the field looks great. Like, just staring at it because it's got the dark green, light green all the way down, and I'm just, like, sweating. I'm like, oh, that looks amazing.
You,
apparently, it was fucking terrible.
Did you plug the pod?
I was wearing the shirt.
Nice.
Let's go.
I got the receipt.
Did anybody ask?
No.
Oh, that's okay.
You punch him in the face.
I was wearing one that's kind of faded a little bit. I didn't follow the washing instructions, so it's fading a little bit. Got to get one that pops.
I'm sure you guys saw the videos of, like, the sand just being brought up.
Oh, it's kicked up.
That is terrible.
But all that aside, what are good things that happened? You guys watched that clip I sent you to where Brisker forced a three and out by himself?
Oh, I think that's one of the big, and we're not going to do this, but if you talk big takeaways from a first preseason game of the year, like, Jaquan Brisker looks like he belongs.
I texted you guys leaving the stadium and was like, didn't I tell you, like, Brisker looks like the real deal? And I'm just saying that, like, as I'm leaving, hadn't even seen that shit. And then I saw that later. And on that, he had a tackle, then a tackle, or then a pass breakup, then a tackle for loss to force the three and out all by himself. I thought it was wild.
I think there's a couple things that, like, yeah, you could take away that Tristan Ebner looks like Trestan Ebner
on it, bro.
might give Khalil Herbert an actual run at the RB2 spot on this team.
He's really similar to, like, a Cordarrelle Patterson type, but more true running back and less receiver. Like, if I could describe him.
He looked great out the backfield. He caught a couple passes. Yeah, that 27-yard run looked really good.
Return specialist in general, too, so big that's time. An added benefit with Tariq gone, so...
Yeah.
Did David Montgomery play at all? Or?
No. He did not. It was all Herbert to start. And then it was a revolving door of Ebner and...
Davis, I believe.
You might be right. But either way, no, he did not play.
Gotcha.
Well, and I really want to use some of these. Like, we're so used to these preseason games not meaning anything, but it's really it's your warm-ups. It's your dress rehearsals before it's time to really lace them up and let's do this. And, like, the first preseason game, you didn't have a lot of guys start. And then the Bears get absolutely fucked by the NFL schedule makers by giving us a short rest week. We played on Sunday, and now we're playing on Thursday.
Very whack.
And we're going to the West Coast.
Told you.
Inexcusable.
Dude, it's just it, because now you're going to get, you've got Eberflus saying that you're going to get a lot of these starters. Like, Justin Fields might play 6 to 8 snaps.
Instead of the whole first quarter.
This is a wasted week on all fronts. And it wasn't even like they went to...
And a dangerous week.
Oh, absolutely dangerous.
This is when people get hurt, for sure.
You can't do this to people on week two on short rest. And it's not even like you took advantage of the week. Like, other teams like the Panthers and the Patriots, they play. So they've been practicing against each other. That always leads to those fights and stuff. So
hilarious, like, content.
Crazy. Yeah. But at least take advantage of that. If you're flying out there anyways. No, the Bears flew out today to play a game on Thursday.
That's weird.
You're now not going to gauge this. And now you only have 3 preseason games, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Nobody plays week 3 of the preseason. You're not. I don't think you're going to see many starters in that game because now the week 4 preseason game is the week 3 preseason game.
But aren't you kind of okay with this? In that your players aren't getting out there for these guys trying to make the 56-man roster to just launch their bodies at. Justin Fields isn't out there as a painted target for these guys trying to make their one highlight on SportsCenter.
I see it both ways because I think we're a team right now where they just need reps. They need reps and they need to play because as much as I want Justin Fields out there the entire year, I think just reps is better than no reps or fewer. That's all the way I'm looking at
100%.
It. You know, because it's like if he gets hurt, that will suck, but this team expectation will still be the same. So I think it's just good for him to play.
And yeah, like, I'm with that to an extent. Like, I totally get it. And yeah, if you bubble wrap them, like, then why are we playing preseason? I know you need depth, but at that point, draft your guys, expand the rosters, run longer training camps, carry larger roster sizes, and figure out who you want in person. But if we're saying that these preseason games are just an opportunity for people to get injured, which I somewhat agree, why are we playing preseason besides money?
Should roll them out there with those Guardian things on their heads.
Ding, ding, ding. I don't know. Like, yeah, but preseason is important to the guys that you don't know about. And I think – so my take on this was going to be that, you know, you can bubble wrap the guys that you know who they are. Like, if I was a Packers, maybe you don't roll out, you know, Aaron Rodgers. for three full games or whatever. But if you don't know who they are, like Justin Fields, maybe you do just let him play.
Yeah, and it's actually funny you mentioned Rodgers, because Rodgers was recently getting into it with LaFleur and talking about, what's the point of just sending me out for one series? You know, it's kind of different from like the idea of like wanting to protect your players. But Rodgers was actually advocating for like playing more. Why not play me an entire quarter? And granted, that does leave you open to like injuries. But also think there is something about, you know, making sure you're in that mojo, getting ready for that opening week. And, you know, I think it's important to get that playing time, especially if you're a quarterback with like new wide receivers, you know, new personnel. It's important to get familiar with that too, with your players.
I agree.
Against people that you practice against every day, and it helps you figure out who the RB2, RB3, your fifth cornerback on the roster.
Yep.
And these two teams, talking about the Bears and the Packers, are two kind of interesting examples of this kind of microcosm, because for the Packers, if Davante Adams is still there, maybe you don't play Aaron Rodgers a single snap, because he knows what's going on. He's got his RBs, he's got Davante Adams, and
chemistry. Like
exactly. That shit's set. He doesn't need to be out there. But now you're crossing your fingers for Sammy Watkins to be your one. Maybe he does need those extra snaps. The same thing with Justin Fields. You don't feel super confident about him and his receivers and their chemistry or repertoire right now. So they do need those extra snaps.
Again, him and Mooney were spot on.
But absolutely.
But they need reps, though. You're dead ass right. They still need reps.
But it's like, would Peyton Manning in the Indianapolis Colts days have needed reps? Probably not. He's going to throw to Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison, and he'll be okay. He
knows right where they're going to be.
Dallas Clark.
Dallas Clark. Oh, good grab.
And Edgerrin James.
So we'll do two more things on the Bears, and then we'll move on. First one I want to talk about is the Roquan Smith fucking chaos that is happening right now. The NFL had to send out a memo to teams because somebody on behalf of Roquan Smith, who is not an NFLPA certified agent, was reaching out to teams to gauge trade interest.
Guy with a fake mustache and glasses. Just like, I'm totally, totally not.
Saint Omni.
And he's a real person. He's a business advisor. Like, he's a real person. He's just not an actual agent.
I thought he was entirely fake.
No, I think he's a real person. Like, he's advised other people. Like, I think he's a real business advisor.
Well, the memes online are just incredible. It's like two kids in a trench coat wearing a top hat. Dude, like, my
totally
name is
not. Totally not Roquan Smith.
It's just, this is getting weird. Like, Roquan, do yourself a favor here. Get some representation. This is possibly the biggest payout of your life. This is the biggest opportunity for you to make the most amount of money and set yourself up for years, set your kids up and your kids' kids. You do this right, you treat everybody.
He was using everyone else as an excuse too. He's like, if I accept that deal that they offered me, then I'm hurting the market for all of these other off-ball linebackers out there. And I'm like, the good ones are already paid, man. Like, the market's set in my head, but he's using that as an excuse. Like he's doing justice for them.
Not the best linebacker wants to be paid like the best linebacker.
Like, he wants to get paid more than Shaquille Leonard. And it's like, dude,
prior to this,
you don't
going
do
on,
the things that he
who?
Does. He Darius Leonard, but he is now, he wants to go by his given name, so he's Shaquille Leonard.
So good to know.
Yes. Yeah.
Good for him.
Shaquille Leonard.
I saw props that Shaquille. Like in the article I was reading, and I was like, who's that?
Yeah. I'm like, another stud linebacker went right under my nose.
I was going like, bro, I know Madden comes out tomorrow, but I'm pretty up on it. Like, who the fuck
I was
are you
like,
talking
they got
about?
Two Leonards?
Madden's awesome.
Madden's coming out tomorrow.
Did it's you guys pre-ordered. Know he was representing himself prior to this?
Yes.
I did not.
So it came out like two weeks ago, I'd say, maybe three.
Oh, I guess before the contract. Well, I mean, yeah.
I guess when he declared a trade. So the reason I bring it up, because
he fired his agent.
When that first happened. Oh, did he?
Yeah.
When it first came out that he requested a trade, I feel like the overall sentiment from NFL fans was like just mocking the Bears. But over the last, I think, few days, I feel like that's changed a lot, where you're seeing a lot more Bears fans, or maybe just people that I'm seeing like on Reddit, that are more like, just sign this deal. You know, it isn't as terrible as an offer that you represented as it was.
Well, I thought of this like when he made that announcement. It was like that office bit where he's like, I declare bankruptcy. It's like, no, dude, that's not
how this
that's
works.
Not how that works. You don't.
But I
do
declared
that.
It.
But I declared. I declared a trade. No.
Ah, damn. Yeah, contracts, I just right? hope he gets some, because you're going to hit a point here where, like we said, you use agents when you don't want to have those bad feelings, when you're telling you can tell an agent that we don't think that guy's worth it, but, like, it's hard to tell a guy to his face, and then if he signs, then it's awkward forever.
I don't think you're worth it.
Exactly.
And, like, now everybody's calling him just immature and just kind of, it's just come back on him. In a way that he didn't expect at all.
How close
he's got
are you?
No leverage.
How close are you guys to out on Roquan?
I'm not out. I want him because
he's still
on
the team. Okay. It's like, yeah, I want him on this team. It's like, dude, just
do I hate
your
this?
Head out of your ass?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I hate the situation.
It's like the old Lance Briggs contract negotiations. Every time Lance was up for a deal, it would go through crazy
crash a Lambo into the L.
Just all the stuff, and he always ended up coming back. So,
oh, remember Roquan did this with his rookie holdout?
Oh yeah. He didn't play until, like, the week of the Packers, or he didn't practice until, like, the week of the Packers game.
And then he got hurt immediately after.
Yep. And the last thing with the Bears.
Didn't he get hurt? He missed, like, he had a leg injury to start the first
There
season?
Was also a mental health thing, too.
No, that was later on when he was.
Yeah, that happened, too. So, like, there's well been several preseason. Instances where he's not on the field.
No, he held out the week of the Packers game was when he came back.
Yes.
Like, he came back that week, or he showed up that week. So,
also, wasn't that the exact same time Khalil Mack had just been traded to us?
Right.
He came and then he got hurt.
And then he got hurt that season or something. And then,
I was wrong on that.
And it's again, Roquan had a no-show thing. Roquan, like, you know, and I get he was going through some stuff, but again, you're going to pay this guy the most amount of money out of anybody on your defense right now. Like, he's your anchor. It's a tough pill.
It's hard for us to look at it
and
be at, like, we're looking at it objectively from the standpoint of, like, that's a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
Right? However you swing it. And then he's at this standpoint where I'm a pro athlete and he's comparing himself and calculating his own worth. And I can't say I wouldn't do the same in that situation. So it's just hard to do. That's it.
A bit of a bright spot, and then we'll move on. Tevin Jenkins has gone full circle. Absolute full circle.
Is he all
right
in?
Guard? Right guard Tevin
right
Jenkins.
Guard Tevin Jenkins. Right starting right guard on your depth chart because Michael Schofield was a little questionable in his first game in a uniform. Tevin Jenkins looks, and if he buys in, he could be a great right guard.
Do you think that, like, I didn't know that he moved, actually, but do you think that was kind of the discourse, like, or like the disconnect between him and Poles there, or was it just because, do you think it was just because he wasn't one of Poles' guys, or like, does
I don't
he need
think
to
it
buy?
Was a positional thing, because they talked about him moving into guard, like, after the draft, before he had the surgery, so I don't think it's a positional thing.
I think it could be a little bit of everything with that. Like, there had to have been a conversation where essentially, like, Ryan Poles kind of sits down with Tevin Jenkins and is like, look, you're talented. You might not be our guy, but we acknowledge your talent. You buy into this system, that means that you buy in on where we want to put you, and we'll see how you do.
And I think there's some physical stuff, too, like had to slim down and some things like that.
Yeah, he had to get more athletic. They want everybody to have a certain body fat percentage.
Which he did.
He did. He
it seems like he's on board.
Up until that point. And now that's why it's full circle, because he went from possibly being a trade prospect to now being your starting right guard. A guy that we said to this point is the most talented offensive lineman on that roster. Guys, if he buys
highest ceiling.
Braxton Jones.
Oh, yeah, Braxton Jones.
Braxton Jones looks like, from everything Robert Quinn and all the other defensive guys say that go against him, he might be real deal. We'll see. But, dude, bank on that, because that's a position and that's a line where we want Justin Fields to be the guy. You have to have faith in the five or six in front of you that are doing it for you.
Yeah.
Anything else on the beloved?
So is that going to be Jones and Reef then, not the tackles?
Yeah. So they're, at least as of for this coming up game, you got Braxton Jones at left tackle. You got Cody Whitehair at left guard. You'll have Patrick Lucas at center when he's back. Then
he hurt his hand or something, right?
Yeah.
He's hurt right now.
Yeah,
he's hurt, but
he should be back for week one.
Okay. Good to know.
Right guard is Tevin Jenkins, and then you got right tackle Riley Reef.
Yeah,
the patron saint.
The guy we drafted out of...
Oh, no, that's Dylan Harper. Sorry.
Doug Kramer?
No, on the defensive side of the ball, drafted out of Miami of Ohio, I think is Dominique Robinson.
Oh, he looks
at a sack, converted wide receiver.
Jack Sanborn. Jack Roquan, who?
Local guy.
Jack Sanborn.
Dude,
white middle linebackers. Yeah, he had a pick.
Kwiatkowski?
That guy's, no, thicker than Kwiatkowski. The guy looks like a boulder.
He is a boulder.
I saw a little bit of Robinson when he was at Miami of Ohio, and that guy.
He's fast.
Yeah.
Yep. Very athletic. So slick. He had a sack in the preseason game. We'll take it.
Guys, and then let's get into Omar's corner, right? So Omar called in, checking on Omar's corner. What is this?
Let's tap in.
UFC 278, I believe.
Rather than out.
Yeah, it's 278.
278, all right?
It's a no for me, dog. I know you wanted that tap in.
We're going to tap in instead of tap out.
No, we heard you. Just, it's a no for me.
One more time.
Gentlemen, it's your boy Swolmar here. Just want to leave a quick voicemail. We got a big UFC card this upcoming weekend, UFC 278. The headliner being Usman versus Leon Edwards. It's a rematch from several years back. Usman and Edwards have changed their game quite a bit since that fight. Usman was very wrestling dominant early into his UFC career. He's become more of a striker as of lately. You know, the Colby Covington fight, you know, knocking out Masvidal. This is all new to his arsenal. Hell of a fighter. And Leon Edwards, he's always been a striker first, but has definitely developed his wrestling abilities. The first fight was very wrestling dominant. I have a feeling that it's going to be more of the same this upcoming fight, and I do have Usman winning this fight. He's just at another level right now, and I think that he's going to be pretty dominant in this fight. With that said, the second to last fight in the card, Costa versus Rockhold. Rockhold did take some time off of the UFC. He is a veteran in the game, and Costa coming off of two losses, but, you know, a hell of a fighter. I think that Costa is going to take a W on this one. I don't know, Rockhold, you know, his age and, you know, him having to take this time off, you know, some insider's information is saying that he's not really sparring as much. He has had some pretty rough knockouts. And, you know, like I've said before, once they, you know, fighters find that button or they get knocked out cold, it's so much easier to happen again. So with that said, Costa, Aldo is on the card. He's his third to last fight. He's going to be fighting. I'm not even going to pronounce his name, or I'm going to mutilate his name, but he's a gentleman that's 14-4. Valasivili, I believe, is what it, his name.
Good try.
But Aldo is on a winning streak, man, and he dropped a little bit of weight, and he's just on his winning streak. And again, another veteran in the game. I'm rooting for Aldo. I have Aldo winning that fight. With that said, got a few other ones on the card here, but I'm trying to leave the voicemail short because I'm about to get cut off here shortly. All right, gentlemen, let me see. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the card, and can't wait to be on set here again soon to discuss the future fights here in the UFC in the next few weeks / months. All right, gentlemen, have a good day.
Omar, you are always welcome here because you always bring a bottle of tequila. And we always end up getting hammered.
And we love you.
Thank you for the insight. Love you. Thank you for the pronunciations.
Guys, Omar's right. Card stacked with veterans.
All right.
I don't think anybody's beating Kamaru Usman. Like, God bless Leon Edwards, but that's not it.
Not right now. He's just at the top of his game, and Edwards is in tip-top form. Edwards is in tip-top form, too, but I just can't see anybody beating Usman right now.
No, I mean, it's just like he's the perfect fighter. Can grapple. Great striker, great chin, freak of nature, just crazy good athlete altogether. Like it's
like John Bones Jones was
without the drugs,
without the cocaine,
without the drugs. That Paulo Costa fight too. I don't for Luke Rockhold like consistently getting knocked out. You do not want to fight a guy like Paulo Costa, which that could end it in one strike.
This seems like the perfect match for Costa. Like he needs that win. He's been in a bit of a slump recently, but. Rockhold, huge questions about his chin. I see Costa winning this fairly easily. Knockout too. one of the best videos that you guys need to look to as far as like sports wise is Costa versus Yoel Romero. They did a slow motion of their fight, and you're seeing something like real life anime where this just chiseled gods are fighting and they're just knocking each other out. It is amazing. It's a 1 minute clip. You can find it on YouTube.
Does it like follow their eyes where you can see that they see something coming and are either dodging it or taking it?
Yeah, you see
responding, countering.
Yeah, so Costa gets hit with like a leg kick in the face and you just see his face just it's
like
it's
a cartoon.
So, like in a car crash. It's such a great clip.
Like the crash test dummies.
Yeah. Well, like Dominic Cruz over the weekend.
Yeah.
Dominic Cruz got knocked out cold, that poor guy. Marlon Vera knocked his ass out, broke his nose with his foot.
Mm-hmm.
And they played it slow-mo. That's one of those where you're just like, oh.
Shit blows my mind.
I can't watch that shit.
Whenever there's a foot up by somebody's head, it just blows my mind.
And the beautiful thing about that video is they have like nice, like angelic music going on as they're just beating the shit out of each other. You guys gotta watch it. Highly recommend.
Yeah, it's an exciting card. I'm gonna follow Omar's picks. We'll post the picks on the socials here. We'll get all the main card picks and we'll post them. And
yeah, post the parlay.
See if you make some money. Yeah, let's parlay. Let's win some money.
Parlay Omar's corner.
1-800-GAMBLER.
1-800-GAMBLER.
1-800-GAMBLER. And then. Sammy Stats, let's get into a voicemail real quick. If you got a voicemail,
yeah,
prepped.
You guys want to do the voicemail?
Yeah, let's do voicemail, and then we'll roll that into Sammy Stats. I forgot about voicemails in the morning or at the beginning of the episode. So, my B.
Don't worry, I did it too.
Hey, is this the hotline for that the bare minimum podcast thing? Well, I know why they call it the minimum, because you four dumbasses couldn't put four brain cells together to make a phone call. Anyway, this is Uncle Mike calling in. First time caller. Don't really ever listen to you, dumb fucks. So I got a few things to get off my chest. First of all, what the fuck are they thinking about trying to put a dome on Soldier Field? When Uncle Mike needs to score a goal, he doesn't put a condom on the love machine. Shit. MC says, I already think we're a bunch of pussies. Next thing you know, we're all going to have to be wearing pink panties to go watch the Bears. All right, that's my first thing. Number two, this producer of yours, Jake, what is up with his hair? Hairy, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son. I mean, what kind of look you going for? I'm telling you, lower whacker ain't it. You ever want to get a girl or a job, cut that shit off. Well, one more thing to you, Jake. Stop taking pictures of little kids at the ball game. It's creepy. All right.
I asked you about the same.
This Cousin Jimmy character, what the fuck is his problem? His parents must have dropped him on his head as a baby a lot of times. Or he must have been really unsuccessful at sports that hit his head against a lot of shit. That guy is more than the four of you, son bitch.
Oh,
I'm telling you, if you want to upgrade your show, don't pick up the phone the next time you call. Just ignore that. Anyway, that's all I got for today. Seth, go Bears. Fuck the Packers. Uncle Mike, out.
I have comments.
Whoa.
Yeah, I figured you would.
So
I hadn't listened to that. He left it like a week and a half ago.
So I'm going to start with the second one.
That
was directed at me. I'm starting with me. Jake,
you still got the dolphin noise on deck?
Number two of his comment.
Be sure to use that.
That was my cousin. Number one. It's a lot of talk coming from someone that's follically challenged.
Roasted.
Wow.
You said the mic down like you proved something. He even said he doesn't listen. Like he has no idea you're saying.
He knows about Cousin Jimmy, though.
We
so
know
clearly
how.
Clearly, he does listen.
Oh!
That's true.
Suck on that!
You don't think Jimmy talks about Jimmy?
That's a good point. No, that guy definitely
uncle
talks
Mike
about
and
himself.
Jimmy don't talk to each other.
This is your uncle?
Wait, which uncle Mike is
this? This is Sam's Uncle Mike.
This is your actual Uncle
that
Mike?
That was my
Uncle.
Yeah, that was Mike, Jimmy's
dad. I thought that was Mikey.
No, you thought it was a Mikey. That's a grown man.
No, that was a...
That man has a casita at his house.
You're going to say a casino. I was like, bet.
Literally.
Like
I thought that was...
I'll see myself.
I thought that was Mikey.
No, that is the one and only Uncle Mike.
Then
which is actually Cousin Jimmy's father.
Then I go back to that. So number two, again, that's my actual cousin. Number one, how dare you, ass?
He says I love you to you constantly and then just roast you in a voicemail.
Who's actual cousin? Your actual cousin?
This is Cousin Jimmy's actual paternal father.
He's talking about an Instagram photo of me and my cousin sitting next to each other at a White Sox game.
So when Jake posted that, I also sent him a message on Instagram asking him if he was taking photos with random children.
Let's eat kids.
No, exactly.
Punctuation, baby. Punctuation.
So the only thing that we can go over besides the R word.
The dome?
The dome. You don't put lipstick on a pig. It's still a pig.
That's fair.
I cannot wait to watch them in Arlington.
I can't wait to drive to Arlington.
Good for you, producer Jay.
Say it. Say it. We've already crossed that line.
It's all right, man.
Oh, my God.
This is a safe space.
How far is the train ride to Arlington?
40 minutes. 45 minutes.
Sign me up.
Do you have to get on in Elgin?
No. Arlington's on the BNSF line.
Not from Aurora.
No, it's not. Sean knows trains. Sean, what line is it on?
Isn't it the...
Maybe it's the one that goes to Woodstock.
For us to take the train, we'd have to go to the city and out.
Yeah. Or drive north and then catch it at one of those places.
I mean, I'm driving to the burbs.
Wait,
so
whoa. Have I been flabbergasted this whole time?
Yeah. Dude, when people say they're excited to be able to take the train...
It's folks in the city.
It's people in the city that get to take the train out. The football's coming to us.
We drive.
We drive. We just have to, we're still in the burbs, burbs to burbs. Now we don't have to go downtown.
All the lines are independent, running off like spires.
I was like, I wanted to drink on the train.
Oh, I wanted to drink on the train 100%. But I mean, you can't bring your tailgate stuff on the train. It's just hard to carry. So actually, I'm back. It's fine.
Yeah.
We can we'll buy an old bus and paint the train on the side of it if that'll make you happy.
Dude, and we're going to be able to tailgate so early there.
I don't think we're going to get the clientele.
We should buy an ambulance. Or a small bus.
For future episodes.
The boys make an investment.
Add to Bear Min Pod on Venmo.
Please fund these investments. I've got a question of the week, if that's cool.
Ooh, bring it on.
Is that where we're at?
That's where we're at.
All right. This is the Sammy Stats question of the week. Fuck, marry, kill.
Love it.
The casino...
Fuck.
The stock market.
Kill.
Fantasy football.
Mary. Killed it. First try.
Yeah, it's Mary fantasy football.
Okay. She's always there for you.
It's kill stock market. And who am I fighting?
100%.
The casino.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
For one night?
On a table. 100%.
He nailed it.
Market.
Right.
Yeah. I've lost too much
money. Oh, you killed the stock market.
Sorry, kill the stock market.
Yeah.
Two bullets in its head.
Double tap.
You got to double tap.
You have so much more fun winning money at a casino than you do actually looking at your computer screen. Like, oh, my stocks are going up. And fantasy football is love. Fantasy football is life. So.
Your stocks go up?
No, my stocks only go down.
What are you talking about? They all go up.
Yeah, I think we are probably all on the same page here. We're fucking the casino, killing the stock market.
Even the bad casinos. Football. Like the one in Joliet.
Evansville, Indiana.
But we are degenerates. I think a smart person might marry the stock market, but...
Then it worked. Never mind.
Well, it's a long-term play. It's a long-term play. That's not how we operate.
That's just a boring life. Successful, but boring.
I don't mean this, actually, but why don't you just get married?
God, outstanding.
That was the Sammy Stats question of the week.
Honey listens. Guys, let's get into our fantasy football preview, right? So right around now, like we said, fantasy football in the air. You're looking at your mock drafts. Are you guys mock draft people? I think we did this last time. Maybe not.
I do maximum two.
Okay.
Not a mock draft.
Because it takes too long to find the lobby that makes sense. Like, I need it to be 12 teams. I need it to be full-point PPR, snake draft, standard scoring. Or, sorry, PPR. I already said that. And every time I click on it, it's already full. So it took like a half hour. I only did one.
Absolutely not a mock draft person.
I hated it. I just wanted to see.
No shot. Most of them only last like three rounds anyways. So really, you're just looking at what gets drawn first.
But, right.
Because everybody just falls off.
Plus,
in those.
Our primary league, we don't know. Just this is into the lives of us, guys. Our primary league, we
Where
don't
I
know.
Where I am the reigning champion, Dale. Okay,
very cool. We don't know the order of the draft until 2 hours into the draft day.
And this is where Jose tells us that he does almost three a day and has already done one while doing this pod.
By three a day, I mean I do like 3 hours a day at work. So I know you guys are looking to get into like mock drafts, but there's a cool thing on a website called Fantasy Pros called a draft simulator. So you don't even have to draft with anybody. It just drafts by itself, and you're at your selected spot. You're able to put like PPR or whatever it may be. And I just spend hours. I get paid to do mock drafts pretty much. And
so I use it for baseball, but you like it for football?
I love it for football. It,
good to know.
You've been practicing some zero running back with that?
I have. I don't even know what position I'm going to be drafted. I have a draft up this upcoming weekend. Shout out the standard. And I have no idea where I'm drafting from. So I'm just drafting from every position, trying to get an idea of what to do. Hours upon hours, fellas.
There's
I'm a degenerate.
There's a spot in the middle there from like, I know we'll get into it, but like picks 5 to 8 where the zero running back strategy this year could actually really work.
Yeah.
So.
Completely agree.
Well, and so that kind of leads me to what is your guys' favorite draft position? Like when you're hoping, because a lot of people don't like the number one spot. Too much pressure. And then obviously some people don't like the number 12. What's your sweet spot? Like if you get X position in the draft, you're excited.
I don't think it comes down to position. I think it comes down to player because it's just so unpredictable, the people in front of you. Like in our draft, Justin Jefferson was a top 4 pick. That changes the landscape of the next 6 picks.
But it's a full point PPR 3 wide receiver
league. I'm not saying it's a bad pick. I'm saying it changes the landscape of the next 6 picks.
He's typically like the number 6, the 5 or 6 in full point PPRs right now in average draft position. So if we're a 3 receiver league, which isn't normal, he moves up.
This is not an attack on Baby Joe. This is just a fact that in most leagues, I think it'd be a pretty heavy consensus that the top 4 to 5 picks are running backs.
Correct. You're correct.
And so
standard scoring.
Like for me, Eckler was my guy the whole time. If I had 1, Eckler, 2, Eckler, 3, Eckler, I had 4, fuck, I got Eckler. It just matters who your guy is. I don't think it really comes down to your pick.
Completely agree. And you could also like exchange like a Justin Jefferson for a Cooper Kupp at that point too. So
good.
There's a lot of strategy going into it, obviously. But if you got a guy, you might as well get him, especially if you're that early up in the draft. There's no point of, you know, being passive there. Get your guy and just hope that your gut works out.
Yeah.
That was the point that I was trying to make that I failed to seal off. Thank you for
closing that. It's forever my strategy. Yes. Up
get
and
your
down
guy.
The board, get your guy.
So with that said, what's your favorite position? Doesn't matter going for a guy?
I think it changes year to year. So like this year for Eckler, I actually wanted top 3 because I thought he was going to be taken top 3. So that's what I wanted. Now he fell to me at 4, so I was happy. I feel he felt to me. Not everyone feels that way, and that's fine.
I wasn't in love with anybody at the top, so it actually worked out that I wanted to be in like the 8 to 12 range for our league because I wanted to double back as soon as possible.
And there's some people that live in that part of the draft. Like if you find yourself with your drafts coming up and your 8, 9, 10, your last pick in a 12-man or something like that, difficult because the big names are gone, but that's where, again, your guy strategy really pays off here
because you don't reach too far and feel bad about it.
If your guy's there, boom, and then you double up on the way back. Jose, what's your how are you handling a lot of your drafts? Are you doing
it's a bit weird this year because I'm normally a zero RB, and for those who don't know what zero RB, that's generally where you avoid drafting a running back until rounds 5, 6, if not later. Which is tough. It's a huge gamble, right? But especially in like today's landscape, you're seeing a lot of running back committees. So you think maybe you can grab somebody in the later rounds. And that's what I was thinking of like entering in this year. But I'm not too confident in that. Because there's a lot of running back committees, you want to get your workhorse running backs, your Austin Ecklers of the world. your Jonathan Taylors, like, you kind of want to secure those. So I think this year I'm going to deviate and focus more on drafting running backs early and then hoping I can get some of these sleeper wide receivers that a lot of people are really sleeping on. Someone like a Courtland Sutton, who, you know, has a new quarterback in Russell Wilson, someone who can really just go in there and just start producing. Who else is there? I know Jerry Jeudy, but still, like, Russell Wilson as your quarterback in prolific offense, there's a lot of guys out there.
I got to look for Courtland Sutton in the third this year.
And so
this is not a draft recap episode.
Just saying.
Exactly. I need
just
to put
saying,
that in right
now. I wanted to connect with the intern on that.
Thank you.
And so that brings up a great point. Like, Courtland Sutton's your guy. You took him in the third. Is Courtland Sutton your guy in the second? No. Probably not.
No.
It really matters. It, like, I think the most important thing in all drafting is seeing what falls to you, seeing where the board is, where you're picking. Because if something falls to you and that changes your draft strategy, let it change your draft strategy.
That's what made my draft so weird. And I know it's not like a draft grade or recap, but like, I wasn't there to see the board as the picks were coming off because we do an in-person, like a physical one. So like, I couldn't flow with what everyone was picking and make those adjustments that you're talking about that you like to see in real time or be influenced by them, which could also be a negative thing. So I'm just there blind and just throwing a pick out there of my list of guys. So like, I don't know how it's going to work out, but like, it's weird not having to be able to, or not being able to adjust real time, seeing the picks go off or the trends.
Well, I like to tier everybody. I like to get my guys and then tier them. And like, your tier one is like rounds 1 through 2. And then if they're still there,
that's
like
good strat.
Going down that tree, basically.
That's a good one.
I'm a big believer in, which is why I've never actually like, and I play a good amount of fantasy football.
Yeah,
I didn't know
do.
The zero RB. I'm a two-time champ. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you are.
I didn't know that the zero RB thing was a thing. Like, I've always operated under, like, this year, RB, RB, RB.
There's
my first three picks in most of my drafts. And I've got drafts coming up. If you're listening, this is my strat. Like, spite me if you want to. Try RB, RB,
but is
RB.
That your strat if you have picked 12?
No.
Exactly.
That can't be.
Exactly. That's my only point. I agree with you.
My example would be I was pick 6 this year in one of my drafts.
It's a weird spot.
RB, RB, RB.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, you kind of have to.
You have to.
Who's your first RB at 6? It becomes who falls to you 100%.
Was it Derrick Henry at that point?
I was curious. No, Derrick Henry doesn't fall that far.
Dalvin Cook.
Depends
and then Zeke
the
Elliott.
Sure.
So, I mean, and that's...
Oh, that's the important league.
Yeah, and it's just one of those...
Your team is stacked. Marcos has a fucking wagon.
About to be
league.
Three-time, guys, and I will be in fucking sufferable. I'll get a tattoo.
And you will wait for the trophy the amount of time I've waited for
great,
the trophy.
Great, I had it in my life for 2 years, dog. We,
that's
you know that.
Me. That's
had it
me.
In my life for 2 years, too.
Jose, what are you how soon is too soon for a quarterback in your
it depends, man. Normally I'm all so we just talked about zero RB, right? I'm also a late QB guy.
Love it.
So I wait till rounds 10, 12 to really get a quarterback. So to give you an idea, like right now you can get in Aaron Rodgers, even a Dak Prescott in like rounds 8 and 9, which is surprising to me. Considering that, like, that is a pass-heavy offense. Not so much Rodgers, but definitely Dak Prescott. And you're still seeing somebody like Russell Wilson drop to, like, 8, 9, sometimes even to 10. It's really bizarre because he's in an offense where it's going to be prolific. You have a lot of weapons there. But to answer your question, definitely you can't draft one in the first round. You just can't. Second round, at that point, it could also be a reach. I know Mahomes has been kind of a fixture over the last few years at the second round, considering he had Tyreek Hill and just the numbers that he was putting up. But losing Tyreek, I feel like that kind of puts him out of there. So I think earliest I would take a QB would be round 3. But even then, I'm more gravitating towards the late round.
But if it's going to be a QB, it's got to be – does it have to be one of these guys that is a dual threat, like a running back guy? Or
well, here's a question. Do you guys consider Justin Herbert as a dual threat?
Not necessarily, but there were some games last year where he had 40, 50 rush yards, and that's okay. Plus 4 or 5, and you're like, "That's we'll take it."
Okay, so like I don't consider him a dual threat, but I know he does accumulate some yards on the ground.
He can move.
Yeah, he can move, and I think that's valuable. I would, to answer your question, I wouldn't prioritize a Lamar Jackson or a
Kyler Murray.
Or a Kyler Murray.
Okay.
No, they're definitely valuable. I know Jalen Hurts is another one too. Or Hurts, sorry. But, I mean, your two top guys are going to be Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes right now.
Well, I mean, Josh Allen. I think like
Josh Allen, you're right.
I think especially with the running.
Yeah.
Because he runs more than both of them.
Absolutely.
But you know, leagues out there, 12, 14 guys, standard scoring, 6-point touchdown leagues for quarterbacks. Josh Allen now flirts with the first round.
That's fair. I completely forgot about Josh Allen, actually. But in those leagues where you have the different scoring systems,
yeah,
at that point it makes sense. I know there's a lot of like super flex leagues out there, too.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
At that point, you go heavy quarterback. But, yeah, I forgot about Josh Allen. That's definitely someone you should consider.
QB and tight end are 100% for me what Jake was talking about, where you tier your guys. If Patrick Mahomes falls in your draft at round 7 and he's available and you have a 3 or 4 on him because you think he's that quarterback, go get him. Same thing with tight ends. It's super based on where you have them ranked personally, because some people just don't value those positions the same. Some people say, I'll wait and be the 10th quarterback draft, because a top 10 quarterback is still a top 10 quarterback and you're fine there. So yeah. That's what I think on quarterbacks.
They're serviceable. Yeah, you can win leagues with streamers.
Like, our league, yeah. Mahomes was the 6th quarterback drafted.
Crazy.
4-point touchdown league.
Jose, are you looking for, like, when you're picking somebody to draft and you come up and there's a position where you've got maybe a WR2 on a depth chart or a WR3, you got a guy like a Sky Moore or something like that. And he's up against maybe another wide receiver. He's the number one in their system, but it might not be as prolific of an offense. Where do you value, I guess, the offense and then their spot in that offense if they're starter and receiving a load of the targets?
Yeah, it's tricky. And like, this is really interesting, too, considering I'm a Packers fan. And you're looking at our number one wide receiver, right? You have someone like Alan Lazard who is projecting to be the number one. But would you take him 100 times out of 100 over someone like Jerry Jeudy in that Denver offense?
No.
And I don't think you do, right? And so, like, to answer your question, if you have a number two wide receiver in a offense that just puts up so many points, and you know he's going to get his 80 to 90 catches, not even targets, just receptions, I think you value that because it's an proven offense. Barring any injuries, you know they're going to be productive. And it's a lot more safe than taking a shot on someone like Lazard who – you don't know how that offense is going to be without someone like Davante Adams.
The only issue I have with that is if you think someone's getting 80 to 90 receptions and you feel good about that, they are gone so far ahead of Alan Lazard that it's not even the same conversation, because now you're describing Adam Thielen and Chris Godwin pretty much.
Yeah. It's tough, too, because you could also throw in Allen Robinson now in Los Angeles.
We're still burnt on that dude.
Fuck that dude for sure. You think about it, it's like being in an offense, I hate to keep it in the Packers. I know I'm a Packers fan, but like Aaron Rodgers as your QB, you're the number one wide receiver.
That matters.
It matters a lot, knowing that they also don't have a lot of like pass options. But I can't find myself taking someone like Lazard over an Allen Robinson who's in an offense with Cooper Kupp, who you know is going to demand so many of the targets. I go for the number two in a much more prolific offense than I do someone that's a number one in any other offense.
One of the guys you brought up with Lazard, now compare him to like a Juju, where they're both technically the number one.
Yeah.
And they both have what would be considered prolific quarterbacks. They're both not what most people would consider to be number one receivers.
Absolutely true. And then, like, you also have to consider that, you know, Travis Kelce is probably going to demand the most of the targets in that offense, right? But you also have young guys like Sky Moore, who's balling out during the preseason. I know Mecole Hardman just got injured.
Guy's the limit, baby.
But that's someone that they have on the roster. And they invested a decent amount of money in
MVS. You got MVS, too. MVS, yeah.
You know, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if he can stay healthy, I mean, he's going to demand targets well, too. So it's a fine line in like determining who you think is going to be a safer pick. And that's kind of what I go to most of the time in that kind of situation. But yeah, I find myself leaning towards the wide receiver two over that wide receiver one in the less prolific offense.
Are you drafting defenses?
I still have one league that drafts defenses. And it depends. It's always late. The last round, that's when I draft my defense.
Same with kickers, I'm assuming.
Same if you with draft kickers, one. I always take them late, because you could just stream them. You just carry one defense on your roster and you just let it go. You find your matchups. Maybe you look ahead 1 week, you notice that someone's playing, like, I don't know, the Bears, and you think,
cheap shots, too easy, low hanging fruit.
And like, that's, you think ahead of like the next week, right? All right, I'll just grab that on defense for that week. But other than that, I don't invest too much time in defense. But yeah, do you guys have any specific players that you guys are like really interested or really think they're going to have a pop out year?
I do.
I like Adam Thielen. I think Adam Thielen, I think there's going to be a bunch of shares around in Minnesota. And I think Adam Thielen could be one of those guys where he goes in later rounds in most people's drafts and he ends up being one of your top producers.
Yeah.
You're really feeling it, huh?
You're in timeout. George Pickens. Okay. How do you feel about the rookies this year in the fantasy world?
I don't want to get too hyped. But I'm really, really excited for
the rookies. Me too. I drafted several of them.
I think this rookie class is really, really good. Breece Hall in New York. I believe he's going anywhere from like round three, round four right now, which is a lot for a rookie running back, especially when you have a Michael Carter there. But I think he's an absolute dog. I think he's gonna be really, really good. I know Kenneth Walker just got hurt right now with a groin injury, but there's a lot of talent there. Dalvin Cook's brother, I can't remember his name, in Buffalo. There's options there at running back.
What do you think of A.J. Brown 2.0, Treylon Burks?
Fellow sufferer of asthma. It's a bit tough because
I stand with you, Burks.
Yeah, you've seen some pretty bad reports that he's really having struggles picking up the offense. But outside of Bobby Trees, Robert Woods, he's the only guy there. So I think there's that opportunity for him to succeed. Also with someone like Drake London, who is sharing targets with Kyle Pitts, and that might be it. A lot of these wide receivers are really put in prime positions where they're going to be commanding a lot of targets. So that's why I'm really, really high on them. Sky Moore, he might be one of the most targeted wide receivers in the offense. So, and then George Pickens is an absolute dog, according to all the reports in Pittsburgh. I know they're even saying Chase Claypool is like losing out reps to him. So, I don't know. There's a lot of young guys that maybe they won't produce heavily in the first 6-8 weeks, but they could be standard fixtures on your team in the second half of the season very easily.
A little Chris Olave action down.
Chris Olave, yeah.
So I'll ask you to hit your wagon then. No, if we're looking at these rookies and who's somebody that if they're available, you know, take them. Who are you hitching that wagon to?
That's tough. I'm gonna give you guys a sleeper at running back, Tyler Allgeier. He is a running back in Atlanta. So all the reports is that he's actually going to be the starting running back in Atlanta.
They just have him at the third string right now.
So from what I've said, what I've read is he's going to be number one. And Cordarrelle Patterson is going to play that role he played last year where he's commanding a lot of targets and he's more involved in the passing game. And then Damian Pierce in Houston, who everything's pointed to him being the number one running back in that backfield. So those are the two guys I would really look to get later in the draft. And as far as wide receivers go, I'm probably taking Drake London and Treylon Burks just because there's so much opportunity there in offenses that are probably most likely going to be passing. Especially if Falcons are not a good team, they're going to be behind a lot of the time.
That's a good point.
So they're going to have to pass a lot. So
Bears.
Yeah.
So I guess let's open it up then. Besides rookies, give me a couple sleepers on your list, people that, you know, if they're available, we should be taking flyers on them. Give us some lottery tickets.
Yeah, so these are really, really late-round sleepers. One of my favorite ones is Kenneth Gainwell. He is right now the number two running back in Philadelphia. If you've listened to anything recently about Miles Sanders or even just watched him play over the last 3 years, he is one of the more frustrating running backs because he has the talent there. He's incredibly talented, and they haven't always utilized him incredibly well. But he's also have a lot of soft tissue injuries too, which are always reoccurring. So I think someone like Kenneth Gainwell, who does produce when he's on the field, is a good option to have there at the late rounds because there's a legitimate chance he could be the starting running back on a fairly fun offense in Philadelphia. And then Khalil Herbert. This is a real deep dive. The only reason I say this is because I saw some reports, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe you guys can tell me, but that David Montgomery was relegated to like even doing some special teams work. So I saw that this morning, and that whenever you see that happen, it's always like, okay, this guy's getting a bit phased out. We're seeing this happen with Antonio Gibson right now. So maybe I'm wrong. I could be absolutely wrong. But I can see him commanding like 10, 15 touches in the second half of the season. And not just carries, but just touches.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Anybody at tight end?
At tight, yeah, actually, there's a lot of tight ends. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Albert Akubungwu.
Just I like that. Better than Omar. Better than Omar.
Oh, yeah.
In Denver. He's a starting tight end in Denver. Again, I love that offense with Russell Wilson. They're probably going to be passing a lot. I see him as being a really good option there. Cole Kmet, Irv Smith, so a lot of NFC North fellas. Robert Tonyan. These guys are falling at the end of the draft. You're not really even considering picking them. But, I mean, there's no reason why someone like Irv Smith, who was out last year due to an injury, who's most likely going to be the number one tight end in that offense, command a crap ton of targets, you know? Someone like Robert Tonyan, who, you know, was injured last year, is coming back to an offense that lost Devontae Adams, could command a lot of targets. So there's a lot of people there. Pratt Freiermuth as well, too. So, yeah, there's a lot of tight ends. It's another thing. If you don't take a Travis Kelce or a Mark Andrews, I think you wait till the end for tight end. Darren Waller's had a – I think he got injured again 2 days ago.
Said he's okay today is what I just saw.
Okay. Well,
back at practice.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. But outside of those three, I know you have Hockenson, but like, or even Kittle, but I lean towards waiting until the end of the draft to pick one up.
Yep, I agree with you there.
Yeah. Guys, any other fantasy questions? Any other nuggets?
Why is Mikey not going to win our league again?
Oh, I can contribute.
Sure.
He'll lose to me a couple times. He'll lose to Marcos a couple times. He'll talk a lot of shit. Jake?
I don't have anything on that. I wanted to throw out a little nugget here. Jose, I want to see what you think. Tight end. I have a prediction I want to float out there that I have a feeling and a belief that Austin Hooper will be a top five tight end by the end of the year.
Okay. That's tough.
I don't think it's that tough.
The only reason I say that is because you have to be ahead of Andrews, Kelce, even Dalton Schultz now. Dallas Goedert. You know what? It's actually not that far-fetched. Kittle and a few and Hockenson.
Yeah, and look at and also you we were just talking about it. Look at that team. You just rattled off all the wide receivers, but we didn't talk about a single tight end. Austin Hooper is the number one tight end on that team right now.
Yeah, and
in Tennessee.
And I think they have a history of producing decent tight ends, too. I can't think of the guy who was before.
Well, Jones. Austin Hooper went back-to-back
one of those
top three in Atlanta.
Yeah.
No, I rolled with them before Johnny Smith.
Name, but like Tennessee
constantly.
Has always had always been
like I rolled with them every year.
Team.
His name started with a D or
yes,
something.
It did.
And they're going to be running a lot, too, so you know he's going to be out there as well, too. So, yeah, actually, there's a chance. I wouldn't bet on it, but there's a chance.
What is that fucking tight end's name?
It was before Jonathan Smith. I used to get him every year.
Delanie Walker.
There you go. Delanie Walker.
Good pull. Find your Delanie you Walker. Guys, that's going to be a wrap on Fantasy Episode. Or not Fantasy Episode, just Fantasy Corner. Good luck on your drafts. Make some money. Find value. Do not draft kickers or defense to the last two rounds. Do yourself a favor.
Absolutely true.
Boys, let's do some schmegments and move on. Who's not that guy? Producer Jake, who's your not that guy?
I'm happy I got to go first this week. No one gets to steal mine. Not that guy this week is Antonio Brown for the comment he made. The release he put out there about how he feels bad for, I guess, himself.
Yeah.
That... You know, the only thing he regrets in his career is not getting to watch himself play on Sundays. The press release is an all-timer. Go read it if you didn't. Antonio Brown.
This fucking guy.
The memes off of it are funny because now they're doing like everybody else. Like the Shooter McGavin one. I'm sad I didn't get to watch myself win. It's just awesome.
It's so good.
Intern Jose?
My not that guy is Vladimir Putin.
Hall of Fame's got to be soon, right?
Oh yeah, Hall of Famer.
I'm not sure if you guys saw today, but there's a report out there that Vladimir Putin is asking the women of Russia to have 10 children, and the reward that he's giving them is $16,000 total for having 10 children. I'm not sure if you know, but children are pretty expensive. I don't have one, but I've heard. So the idea that women are going to go ahead and just start pumping out babies tenfold, like for 16 grand,
he's just not that guy.
Really hurting for numbies over
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
he
needs some cannon fodder.
That's brutal. That's one way to do it, man.
Yeah, he's he needs help.
Donadale, who's not that guy?
So I'm going to nominate myself for a specific reason.
Oh.
Specifically for the amount of shit that I gave Sam during his 6-month bathroom remodel. I am currently only a month and a half in, but I did have a ceiling fall on me over the weekend. That was not fun. Sam did not have that problem. So like,
he had a leaky ceiling.
Was it, 4 month? Excuse me. Sam was only 4 month. He had a leaky ceiling. I had a faulty ceiling.
So
that's all right. That's all right.
I didn't know what I was doing, so I stopped.
What is this podcast ever going to do when like we finish our projects?
We'll have new projects. We got frame basements.
That's step three, and we haven't gotten Sean there yet. House.
Just break cameraman Sean's bathroom and let him go through it.
Yeah, absolutely just destroy it.
What's wrong with my closet?
Project.
There's some defaults you
can
see.
Blow up his toilet.
Defects.
Sam Stats.
My Not That Guy of the Week was going to be totally not Roquan Smith calling other NFL teams. Like, totally not him. But it's actually our softball team.
Fuck me.
We're not that guys.
So, you know what? This is our podcast. We can peel back the curtain.
This is the trust tree, right?
This is trust tree.
Okay.
Playoffs started yesterday in our softball team, and oh, my God. We were excited. We came in there, Purple Cobras, ready to go. 21-3 in four innings. Some of our guys got one at bat.
Yep.
What I did get one at bat.
What are you going to do?
The other team.
What are you going to do?
They batted around four times.
God, just fucking people, man. But it's fun to see the boys. I like drinking.
Oh, that was cool.
Guys, my not that guy. My not that guy is Yaqob Talib, brother of Aqib Talib, who over
okay.
the... Oh, guys, I can't believe you haven't heard this.
I have not.
Nothing, no
who
idea.
Over the weekend, this is pretty sad, actually. I'm going to bring the mood down real bad here. Over the weekend, him and his brother Aqib are youth football coaches for like travel football teams. And at a game over the weekend, Aqib's brother Yaqob shot another coach dead in front of fans and kids. Guys,
what
I'm going to throw
fuck?
This out here, right? As we're getting into fall, your kids' sports are coming back. You're going to have football Fridays. You're going to have weekends of soccer's coming back, fall ball, the whole thing. And you guys have just seen all of the upset parent videos where refs are yelling at parents at refs. Guys, forever and always, it's not that serious.
Oh, my God.
It is youth sports. It is not that serious.
There had to be something else there, man.
Oh, and so that's what they're saying is like there's like something going on, and I guess you'll find out more. But regardless,
you have these grown ass men that are just
setting an example,
fighting these 22-year-old umps that are just just trying to help out with the local leagues, and it's egregious seeing some of the shit that you see.
Yeah,
with these adults, quote unquote, just acting like absolute children.
Oh, it's embarrassing. You should be embarrassed if you're giving shit to, like you said, this 22, 23-year-old kid trying to ump his way. A couple of the guys at this table ump their way through school, and this was your guys' thing.
Present.
Jake still umps, just like...
Present.
It makes no sense, guys. Again, it's not that serious. Give your kid a pat on the back when he does something great and make it a learning experience when they do something bad. That's about it.
Be an example, man.
It's not that serious.
I've yelled at some mumps.
No, there was an all-timer. There was an all-timer.
I yelled at a kid one time.
There was a kid reffing a Saturday morning club wrestling quad.
He should not have been
and
wrestling.
No. He was short-handed. He was short-handed, and he's the only guy. And this might be his second year, and it got to the point where Dale was so upset coaching one of these teams that Dale goes, "What are you watching?" And the ump look or the ref looks Dale dead in the face and goes, "I am trying." mid match with the whole hand point to Dale goes, "I am trying."
I promise you, when he did that, I felt so bad.
Dale was done.
I recused myself from the match.
Dale's like you know what?
I walked out of the gym like I'm being that guy right now.
Yep.
Nope. I'm out.
There was nothing better than seeing you realize it and just
and
being
I was
like,
immediately like,
I get it.
Yeah. How old were these kids is the best part. How old were these kids?
They were 12 and 13. Wait, those are the kids we were coaching. The kid reffing was in high school.
Or maybe 20. He was maybe college. 20 years old.
He was closer to their age than he was to our age. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Woof.
As someone that does it every once in a while, I welcome it sometimes where people just want to shit talk. I'm like, whatever, man. Like, let's do this. Like, you want to go? Let's go. I could throw it back too. There was one time a guy like took a half check swing, like winner, and I'm like, strike. And he like argued with me. I'm like, you should have just swung. I don't know what you want. You made it that far. Like,
you
just go
made it that far.
Also, last night I was actually on the Sox game. I overheard a fan yells to the umpire after
angle.
Oh no! Sorry. After he called a ball that should have been a strike, and you can hear it over the microphone. The fan just yell, "Oh, check your voicemail. Think you missed a call."
Love that.
Oh, that's gold.
All right, guys. Who can or cannot dog sit for you? I will start.
Okay.
Not dog sitting for me. That fuck Aaron Rodgers. Guys.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers has a roster. Just totally nothing but youth wide receivers. First year wide receivers. Jose brought it up a little bit earlier.
Put some respect on Sammy Watkins' name.
And with the exception of old man King. Watkins. Guys. He threw these guys under the bus in an interview recently, like making it a point to call out the rookies. You got some guys running bad routes. You got some guys dropping stuff. This is your chance to like take them to the side after a practice. Talk to them in the locker room. When we know Aaron Rodgers and everything that he does is strategic in his media play, it's a bad look. Bad dude. So I get it.
Oh, I don't know if he's a bad dude, but it doesn't help, like, when you come back from ayahuasca trip thinking that you're all mellow, you have all these interviews, and then, like, literally, like, a week later, you're just yelling at a Romeo Dubs for doing his best. I mean,
I'm trying.
A rookie.
And someone that's been absolutely killing it, he drops one pass, which obviously you can't. It's tough, right? You don't want to see your guys dropping balls, but to have the point where they had a meeting today where they had all the wide receivers and all the quarterbacks and some of the key offensive personnel, and they had to just talk through everything. It's not a good look when you're just shitting on your wide receivers, especially when they're young. You want to kind of mold them to be productive, but
maybe this is part of that process.
no new friends. Sammy Stats, who can or cannot dog sit for you?
Dog sitting for me this week is dudes on mopeds.
Oh.
I've just been seeing a lot of that lately, and I think we need more of it. I'm all for it. I think we need more dudes on mopeds. It's sick.
Not a doubt.
People who are nice to airport workers.
Oh, that's a good one.
Cannot dog sit for you?
They can. People who are nice to them. I'm in my heavy travel season, so like, just so you know, when you're being an asshole, there's always people watching, and we're all going, you're just such a fucking prick, aren't you?
I had an airline attendant when I was going to Canada. Just the most character person I've ever seen run a flight. She was cracking jokes over the mic, and I'm by the end of it I'm like, all right, I get it, like this is, she's doing it. Like at the end of the flight, she shouts out her link to, oh, she asked people to like send a tweet to American Airlines saying, hey, so and so was a great flight attendant. And she's like, and if you didn't like my service, my name is Judy and I work for Delta. And just cracking jokes the entire flight. I thought it was super cringe at first, but by the end of it, I was just like, all right, she's having fun.
What else are we going to do up here?
JK's Delta jokes. Got it.
Beautiful.
Jose.
Who's not watching Khaleesi is going to be MGM Resorts in Las Vegas.
Okay.
So today they announced, the chairman or whatever his title is, that they're going to be spending $20 to $25 million on F1 tickets for next year's Grand Prix. And that's something that I've been really looking forward to.
Wait, they're
going to... So they can jack up the prices?
Yeah, so they're going to repackage those tickets with hotels, and they're starting at $100,000. Now, a few fellas at the table know that if I win my Dynasty League, my plan is to fly all the fellas out and actually watch the Grand Prix because I found the perfect hotel for it. And they also announced that those rooms are going to be going up at least 3 to 4 times their current rate. So what I thought would be a $2,000 expense is now going to be $8,000 to $9,000.
Rent. Let's rent an RV and stay at an RV park.
What promises were made, so it's a damn shame.
Sounds like you're going to be a little underwater with that.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to afford it. It's priced out.
Somebody's got to get cut. Somebody's got to go. Producer Jake.
Watching my dog this week is going to be the PGA Tour. The FedEx Cup playoffs are in full effect, and I love that shit. Guys who are on the back half of just barely making it in are living and dying by every shot in a tournament standing that doesn't matter to them. They're no close to winning, but they're missing a 4-foot putt and all of a sudden they're out of the cut for the next round of the playoff. And so dudes are like, and they do live standing updates. So like one dude behind him will make a putt and all of a sudden he's like, he's got to make this putt. This 4-putt, he's on the 8th hole on like Saturday. He's like, this putt means everything. What the PGA has done with the FedEx Cup playoffs is incredible.
That's great.
That it? My friends, and that is a wrap on our Nick Kwiatkowski episode, episode 44.
Put some respect on Rizzo.
Okay, Frank. Oh, did you guys see Frank's meltdown? Frank got hit. I'm sorry. Totally unrelated, but we got to shout out our boy Riz.
It's all good.
Dude, got hit. At the plate because he crowds the plate like he always does.
Anthony, not Frank.
Anthony.
Got it.
Frank Rizzo.
Yeah.
So he gets hit. He's taking his base, and the ump tells him, you got to come back because you didn't try to get out of the way.
What's your take?
Well,
who's justified?
I think Riz is justified.
Nope. Ump made the right call on that. 100%.
No, dude, how's he going to get out of the way? That ball like started outside and then worked its way inside. And I mean, it hit him in the meat of the like the
his where it hit him was over like out of the batter's box.
The way he does that hip thing where he sinks his hips towards the plate,
you can say
so
he
his legs come down and like they're over the plate.
Guys, that's a wrap on episode 44. God damn it. Guys, we're on Facebook, The Bare Minimum Podcast, on Twitter, at The Bare Min Pod, Instagram. We're going to actually figure out how to run this goddamn Instagram and make some videos.
Someday.
Cameraman Sean's, he costs a pretty penny, so we got to put him to work. So let's get this done. Little bit of news, a little bit of housekeeping here. We're coming up on our one-year episode, right? Aww. We've been podcasting for about a year now. Oh,
big time.
So big shout-out to you guys that have been here since the beginning, since the audio was really bad. We'll do something fun. We also got to start prepping for Not That Guy Hall of Fame. That episode will be coming up here pretty soon. Schedule episodes coming up. I think we'll do that either next podcast or the one after this. Do a full slate of games. We'll do all our picks. NFL, maybe get Jose back for that one, too. Anything you want to tell the lovely listeners?
Bears.
Bears. Bears.
See Red. Bear down. Love you guys.
Jake stands up when the airplane lands.
It's Bears. Bad. It's so bad. They don't win. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger.
But she ain't messing with no Richard Seymour. Get down, girl. Go ahead, get down. The boys are back. Go ahead,
get down. Not that guy. Get down, girl. Go
ahead, get down. How big are you on sports? Get down, girl. Go ahead. Not that guy.
I need to put notes on that.
Right. Oral Roberts, yep. Man.
I'm drunk. Drunk.
Bears.
Bears.
It's looking more like Jake might have been right, but do I know anything about that man? Absolutely not going into that, right?
You don't have a choice.
No, that's not what I said.
Okay. Feel me mine.
I watched all the tape. Watched all the tape.
To say where you work, but then get the hell out of the chair.
The best friends in the whole world.
Go Chaos. Especial.
Not that guy.
Marcos disagrees.
Sean's legally blind.
Let him up, you dumb bitch.
It's Malort.
What if he wants to be here?
Yeah. I rode with him for 3 weeks, dude. Football guys.
Really fast.
I need it in like 15 seconds, though.
Yeah, your face is too narrow. that guy.
Dude, I love celebrating.
Yes, the Malort's on the table.
We're doing our best to put out as much as we can put out.